everybody. Welcome to a mini-episode of No Story is Sacred. If you've never listened before, we're four siblings who grew up talking about the art of storytelling. Now that we're adults, we're still talking about it, and we're inviting you to join the conversation. I'm Pippin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
And I'm Brendan.
Today, we're going to talk about world building. So maybe tips that we have, things that we like to do, you know, making shit up.
Like professionals.
I mean, it is just the subtle art of making shit up.
Mm. Yeah. But in an orderly way that you can remember later.
Orderly? What?
From an epic fantasy series that spans 30 or more books to a 26 episode spaghetti western anime. The proper world building are doorways into different realities. But and just learning how to do it not only improves the story that you're writing, but also yourself as a writer, you know?
Yeah.
Indeed.
The important thing about world building is that whatever story that you're trying to tell, the world that it's being set in has to be believable. Otherwise, the audience is going to be able to tell the whole thing for the lie that it is.
Well, wait a second. How do you define believable, though? Because there are some people who are like, unicorns, that's fucking fake. So what can you dive into what believable means to you?
There's an internal logic.
There you go.
The laws of physics still work unless you come up with a compelling reason for why they shouldn't.
Oh, I like that.
Nice.
I was actually watching a game developer or a conference talk, and one of the precepts is people can't double jump in real life.
Yeah, but in games, that's accepted. It's rote.
Yeah, and it makes sense, and it's consistent.
Yeah, consistency.
Yeah, the way I always heard about it with believability is that a lot of people have this almost believability budget running in the back of their heads where, like, every single little thing that breaks from reality gets deducted from that budget. So
that's interesting.
Like if you're playing a video game, your believability budget is pretty freaking high because you have these expectations like double jumps. Yeah, that's accepted. Cool. But then you want to make sure that you don't like strain that too much by having superpowers and magic and robots all at the same time, unless that's the conceit of the game itself or story itself, and then it's just an examination of all that interacting at once in a cool way. Hello, Shadowrun.
Magic tech armor.
I mean, one of the basic rules is don't do this thing unless you can get away with it, in which case, yeah. Good job.
But I think was it Mom who had the saying of you're allowed one source of magic in a story, at least.
I thought it was like, you're allowed one impossible thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the reader will be like, okay, I'll give you that one.
I was watching an episode of Actually, because I'm a nerd, and one of the comedians was explaining how, at least when he's teaching improv, he tells the students that the audience will question you, like, once. And then afterwards, let's just sort of go with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, in Star Trek, it's like, how do you travel faster than light? I don't know, deadly sling crystals. They're like, yeah, okay.
That works.
Or yeah. Like, so you can totally have the holodeck come to life and try to kill you.
How?
Science. Stop asking questions.
It malfunctioned.
The malfunction.
Ah, yes.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, when shit breaks, am I right?
You already accepted that we have holodecks that we can touch. I mean, it's true. We are way past.
We're way past that.
Or like Superman being able to turn back time by going backwards around the sun?
The Earth.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He just flew around the Earth really fast.
It's like,
get it right.
God.
I think that's what tips over the believability budget that Brennan was talking about.
Yeah.
Because we were willing to believe Superman. Because like, this guy has powers. Fucking hell. The yellow sun. Yeah, cool. All right. And then he does the time travel thing. And at that point, we go, wait a minute. That whole thing was fake, wasn't it?
Well, actually, let's bring up Star Trek again. That was, as I recall, the big issue with season 3 of the original series. So, like, you had... You found out things about Spock in the first series and the second series, where they're like, yeah, he can do a pinch, he can mind meld. Yeah, those are all, okay, fine. So it's like all psychic stuff, that's fine. Third season, there's like, did you know that actually he can have his brain removed and then replaced and talk the surgeon through the procedure at the same time?
I don't want to talk about
and
Spock's
do it
brain.
Blindfolded.
Spock's brain is the first episode of season 3,
and wow. It didn't sets get the bar. Better.
I remember the first time I watched Spock's brain, and I was like, people told me, and I didn't believe them.
And I mean, and so that's really where the budget comes in. Like, yeah, we can believe in a green alien with pointy ears who can do all this, and then you're like, Nope, that one's a bit much. That's a no.
A bridge too far.
A bridge too far, indeed.
So tip number one, everyone. Budget out how much breaks from reality you have in your story and plan accordingly.
Yeah.
And especially if you're starting out like a new story, I'd almost hedge on being a bit more conservative with kind of the breaks from reality, right?
I don't know about that.
It depends on the kind of story you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say you're making, you know, some absurdist acid trip kind of story.
Yeah, yeah. Like gonzo science fiction.
I guess also the question is, to whom are you writing? Like, if you're trying to make a thoughtful exploration piece, then yeah, sure. Go nuts. Have fun.
Just gonna say, I think... what's important is establishing your own rules, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, whatever's yeah. true in your universe, and then later you can work on breaking those rules, because fuck it, they were made up to begin with.
So the reason why I don't want to be like, don't get too complicated, is because guess who's working on something complicated right now? This girl.
What?
But you've also been practicing at it for a while, right?
I mean, yeah, but that doesn't mean it's like easy.
No, it's never easy. I'm not saying that. I'm just
part of what's going on with the world building is. So I came up with an idea.
Uh huh.
Dangerous.
I know. And then from there, I'm like, okay, I vaguely thought of a genre, like the vaguely idea, like okay, it's gonna be a murder mystery because I like murder mysteries.
Right on.
Legit.
But the way I developed the plot was by figuring out how my world worked first. Because you can't figure out the problem you need to solve until you know what kind of problems are available. Mm. And so I have, I'm working on a thing where there's a society that, okay, I stole the Incas and their quipus, which is instead of using written language, you use tied knots and strings. You can get a lot of information into that, numbers and such. And perhaps more. So I'm like, great, I want a society that does that. And then I just stretched it on from there. And in doing so, I got a plot where somebody gets murdered with one of these kipus, and then the detective that I'm making up figures out part of the clue by being able to read the imprint of the knotwork on his neck.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Thank you. I gotta tell you, I am... doing this podcast right now instead of writing. That's how much I love you guys, because I wish I was writing that. I haven't got to the autopsy scene yet. I'm so looking forward to it.
Wait, Kat, yeah. Is this what you've been writing in the Starbucks?
It is! I'm so ashamed.
Aww.
While wearing your scarf and beret and
drinking my hot
glasses.
Chocolate. Yes.
I should get you a beret.
Oh my god, please don't. In doing this, I'm like, what kind of society would have all this? I don't know jack about the Incas, so I'm not going to do that. But I'm like, okay, this is a society that really depends on fiber, so they're probably got a lot of ungulates and whatnot. You know, they do all this knot work, they do taxes, they're good with taxes, because I'm me and I can't get away with, how do you run a shop? What's the insurance like? But the way that their language works, the way that they think about problems... and the way that their murders happen. Like, what kind of murders would occur in that kind of society? Well, I want to find out. And that's where Your world building can help. This is where I get back to the point. This is where your world building can inform the kind of story you tell. And that's why I actually like to start with my world building.
Mm.
I start with that, and then I pluck a story from there.
So, again, being on topic with world building. So one thing I've been doing, and some people right here on this call even know about it. So I've been doing Dungeons and Dragons sessions because, hey, I'm a nerd. Now, part of the trick with that, because it's a highly interactive and very volatile storytelling experience, you got to do a whole heck of a lot of world building behind the scenes before your players even come to the table, because you want to have at least a couple of answers on hand for when they do crazy, weird shit.
I want to blow up the town. I cast fireball on the end.
And the thing is, I have contingencies, you know, planned out for if that happens. Who reacts? Who cares about the people in the village? What kind of relationships are there in here? And one of the things I've been doing a lot lately to help in that, I've been doing that, like, was it mind mapping?
Ooh,
you know what I mean?
What's that? Mm.
In basic concept, it's start with your root concept, like in maybe like the middle of a page of a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
And from that root concept, as you start thinking about ideas related to it, branch off almost like a flow chart away from that topic. And then, you know, write that down, circle it, connect it. And then from there, what's related to that idea, connect that. And then just go from there. Like if you start thinking about your root idea again, okay, new connection. Oh, is something up here related to some other branch I was thinking about? Cool. Connect that, and it ends up almost looking like a mad conspiracy theorist's pinup board. But it helps me because it just, again, gets all the ideas for world building on the page. But also because I'm doing all these connections, it helps flesh out the relationship. So it's almost like a relational database almost, but a world.
Ooh.
So, like, just the other day, the players encountered a weird ship, and unknown to them is I have an entire, like, page or two of things related to that ship and the culture that created it. Are they ever going to actually see that culture? Probably not. But, like, the design aesthetics involved in creation, why this thing existed in the first place, all that has to be informed somehow, and I have to have at least an inkling of how that happened.
I think that's very fascinating. That's because I don't do this tree thing that you're mentioning. Is that what it's called? Mind map. I don't do a mind map.
It can look like a tree. I mean,
but I do write little essays to myself. So I will always start the essay with something like, so what about name of character? What's his deal?
Yeah.
And then I just start free flow writing, and like, it's never anything that's going to end up in the page. And I realize that I'm actually, you know, I've finished what I'm thinking about it when I actually start coming up with dialogue. That's when I know that, okay, this character or whatever the issue is that I need to poke at is thought through enough in my head that I'm ready to start writing.
See, I'm kind of the, I wouldn't say opposite, where I have a lot of trouble just doing free form writing like that. So I need to have like my ideas written out somewhere, somehow, at least just the concepts to start with. So like if I wanted to now do an essay on this culture, I could probably have a much easier time just jamming on that now because I kind of did all this relational construction ahead of time.
You know, Brent, your method sort of makes me think of if-then statements.
Could.
If this thing is true, if we know this, then what must be true to have made it a thing? Maybe I'm thinking of proofs in math, which I could never do.
No, it makes sense. Like, okay, your character has glasses. Really? Really, fucker? Okay, so I guess you're able to mill glass, huh?
Well, the way you say that, you know, that it kind of goes into the way I kind of write.
Oh, yeah?
Oh.
Ooh.
Well, like, the way I do it is, like, I don't only start with world building. I start with the problem that I have, which is I want to do a murder in space. You know, that just that. Just starting with that. the only world holding effect there is there are people there, they get killed sometimes, and it's in space.
They get killed sometimes, then they come back, but then we kill them again.
It's a problem. We all acknowledge this. It's a natural part of being in space.
Yeah.
What, murder?
Yeah.
So, referring back to a body in space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a murder. How do I want to do that murder? And I think about it, and I want jettisoned out an airlock. Yeah? So, spaceships that have airlocks. It's still pretty rote. Then, I'm like, okay, how did they not notice it's the murder? And that's when I end up figuring out my faster-than-light travel. How did they just know in space and how did no one notice? And it's because in order to properly do faster-than-light travel, well, you have to go faster-than-light speed in one direction for a certain amount of time, then stop and then reposition, and then go again, then stop and reposition, and then go again, and that's how faster-than-light travel works in that universe. Whereas in other universes, they're just, these are the coordinates, we go, and we're there, you know?
Yeah.
Pip, do you have any preferred world-building tips or methods?
I don't fucking world-build. What are you talking about?
You just wing it?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Children, dear listeners.
I'm not a child.
Learn from
child.
My mistakes.
Do not follow my example. I am a cautionary tale.
Wait a second. I'm going to make that a button for you. So, Pip. Okay, so to be fair, though, does it work that you don't world build ahead of time?
I mean, so far, but to be fair, I've never finished anything. It hasn't come to bite me in the ass yet.
That's not what the AO3 says.
Oh, well, those don't count.
Hey.
Worlds that already exist.
Hey, AO3 has a fix that have examples of my favorite kind of world building.
Let's talk about that. Al, what's your...
No. You finish.
Oh, man. I did get a kudos on one of my Sherlock fix the other day.
Okay, so if you did world build, what would you do, Pip?
Start with characters. I really like characters. So this character exists. What made them how they are? Do I want them to be a magic user? Cool. How does that work? Magic isn't real. I need to work out how that happens.
Excuse you, magic isn't real?
So to paraphrase your method there, Pippin, it's almost like your world-building method is like a series of justifications for your characters.
Yeah. That makes it sound like I know what I'm doing.
I mean, it's a legit approach, I suppose. I mean, yeah, you have your characters, and that's first and foremost the centerpiece of your story, so having that be internally consistent is a form of world building. You don't have to have this big Bible, world Bible, whatever, chart in my case, whatever.
You're such an engineer.
If you just have it, like, on the page with your character descriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So my favorite kind of world building.
Oh my god.
I already told you guys this in our group chat. I know this, listeners. I talk to people outside of this podcast.
What?
We have conversations we don't let the internet in on?
I know. I mean, you guys haven't gotten outside of the podcast?
No.
I've been trapped here this whole time.
I've been 12 years. 12 years in Azkaban.
I was born in this podcast. I'll die in this podcast.
No, my favorite kind of world building is the kind that is at the beginning of a chapter or of a book or you know, a fanfic, is an excerpt from a historical text, a journal, or some poem that exists in that world, just talking about a topic. Like, in my youth, I traveled to name of Fantasy City. Boy, did I have a time there among the people of this fake nation. And just the way that it colors it and like makes you feel like I'm reading a history book. Except I'm not, because history books actually suck.
Excuse you.
Wow.
I'm kidding.
A recent example of this world building. Have you guys read N.K. Jemisin's Broken Earth trilogy?
The one that's won the Hero Guild Award 3 times in a row?
Yes, that series. Aha.
No, it's on my list.
That one has the chapters beginning with the stone lore, as they call it, the historical texts that have been preserved that basically keep how survival works in this really grim world intact. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like kind of messed up stuff.
But yeah, it lets the reader know that there's people who exist outside of the story and a world that exists.
And it's out of the protagonist's perspective.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they have radically different views than the protagonist. And it's also a great way of just fleshing out, as a writer, of fleshing out different voices.
Mm.
And maybe establishing rules that your character wouldn't have reason to explain.
Or sneakily hiding in a theme of that chapter.
Or yeah. Sneakily hiding in foreshadowing.
Mm. Yeah.
Examples I would think of is the reason that I got hooked on Magic the Gathering in the beginning, which is the card game, is that the early cards, before they covered them in stupid rules or whatever, would frequently include little snippets about the universe. And
they still do.
Oh, do they? That's nice.
Yeah, they're still. Oh, yeah. They don't all have flavor text, but a lot of them do.
By the way, Kat, the cards these days are very pro-LGBT.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, of course, that I feel like if I don't mention this, some of our listeners will get mad, is mentioning Susanna Clarke's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell, which is, Alex, the undisputed, I feel, king of throwing world building into footnotes and various bits of historical errata.
Footnotes.
One thing I think that world building helps with, especially in your writing, and we've said it several times, but it's creating rules. But another way of saying that is also potentially creating almost constraints for yourself as well, which almost seems counterintuitive to be giving yourself constraints to this world you're creating. But I think in a lot of ways that tricks your subconscious into working into overdrive to now define or defy these rules that you're creating.
Constraints equal creativity.
Yes.
Put that on a fucking poster.
Now, our brains are like hardwired to solve problems. Mm-hmm. Constraints make problems for yourselves.
We like puzzle solving. Let's make some puzzles.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Actually, that is my big thing. Make some fucking puzzles for your brain to fix.
I dug myself a hole. I'm going to write my way out of it.
You're going to write your way out?
No.
See, thank you. Thinking,
I dug my own grave. I'll dig yours too. But that's maybe more aggressive than I need to be.
I think that's the exact right amount of aggressive.
Rah!
So, do you guys have any parting thoughts?
Worldbuilding is good. It takes some practice. Don't be scared of it. Don't be me.
Have fun with it. Like, you are literally a golden god making shit up. Enjoy it.
And you don't have to create this world in just 7 days.
So true.
Yeah. And always remember that for every writing rule, there's a trick around it.
Huzzah.
True. The only writing rule is, does it work?
Yeah, that's literally, forget everything else we've said. That's literally the only rule. But also listen to what we talk about, because we're smart.
And humble.
Okay. Do you want to take us out, Alex?
Oh, yeah, sure. As always, if you have a story to submit, head on over to nostorysacred.com/submission. Follow us on Twitter at nostorysacred, or send an email through contact@nostorysacred.com. Your hosts have been Alex MacDonald, Brennan MacDonald, Pippin MacDonald, and Craven Crichton. Editing for this episode done by Brendan. Transcript done by Ashley DaCosta. Art by Jay Wolf. Show notes and transcript are available at nostorysacred.com. Thanks for listening, everyone. And please rate, review, and subscribe to No Stories Sacred. You can also visit our Patreon page to support the show and get neat rewards at patreon.com/nostoriesacred. Until next time, where no story is sacred and any story can be changed. I'm Alex.
I'm Kat.
I'm Brendan.
And I'm Pippin.
And we're
No Stories Sacred.